We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Let's get back to more Mark Crotty on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Yeah. Mark Crotty. He's in a sea of such an angsty song. So angsty.
I've never heard this before.
You have not?
I've not.
Really? I mean, you picked the right song. It's that one song by the Deftones. Gonna be a Lollapalooza. Yes! Fits in the category of, I totally go see the Deftones. Because they rock like that. I mean, they're dark, though. At least this song is. And I don't go real deep with the Deftones, but this song is its own empire, I feel like. It's a mood. It's kind of dark on Michigan Avenue. The waves are picking up. Like, they're splashing to where you're feeling you're getting a little bit of drip, and you're like, should I get off the path? That's this. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think we just figured something out. Welcome back into this turn we did not expect to take on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I am Mark Grody, as I get to be with you for one more hour. I'll be here with you until 9 o'clock. Robbie Triano is our executive producer, the man who just expertly played the Deftones right there for you. He will take your calls if you'd like to get on. I see a couple of you guys stacking up and getting ready to talk about the Bears and Caleb Williams, and we're going to get to those calls pronto and some text messages as well. But can I tell you something that I'm actually excited about? The White Sox on the field, something that I am thrilled about that almost got past me in all my angst to want to cover the Chicago Bears, and sometimes you let some things slip and slide past you while you're working on what you're working on with the Bears, is that Garrett Crochet will be the game one starter for the White Sox. I got that right? I read that correctly, right? Yes, Garrett Crochet.
He's on the roster, yes.
He's on the roster, but he's the Sox opening day starter. That's wild. That is bizarre, but I love it. Not because I don't like what it represents, because it represents that you've gotten rid of everybody in the last couple of years, and there are no longer aces on your staff, at least at different times. We know Dylan Cease at different times and Lucas Giolito at different times were both big-time aces. Then, you know, maybe a drip below at this point for Cease, and we know Giolito's kind of dropped precipitously in that area. But I've always loved Garrett Crochet. He is amazingly one of those guys he's only 24. It feels like he's been around forever, and part of the reason is that he was selected 11th overall in the 2020 draft, and that's the pandemic season, so there's no minor league baseball whatsoever, and he plays during that season, plays a role when the Sox were 35-25. So zero minor leagues before he comes up to the big leagues as a reliever with his size and his slider and all of that coming at you. And some of us channeling Chris Sale. So that's where I've got this soft spot for Garrett Crochet. You know, this angular lefty whose ball moves like it does. It's like he's got to be able to put that together at some point in time. You know, last year hurt a lot, 13 games, zero starts. In 2021, 54 games where he had the 2.82 ERA, zero starts. He really wasn't even much of a starter in his college career. Like, he started, but not prominently and not numerously. So it's, I don't know, I kind of like the, like, here's a way to watch the White Sox this year. Not necessarily Garrett Crochet, but that stuff like that's going to happen. Like, things like that are going to happen for the White Sox. We're going to be like, oh, Garrett Crochet is going to get a shot. And who knows? I mean, it's just something to root for. It really is. Like, why not root for Garrett Crochet to be a breakout starting star? Or maybe it's one and done for him in that role. But, yeah, I find that interesting. And then just quickly on the Cubs, I'm finding myself feeling I've been pretty down on the Cubs going into the seasons for the last 3 years on the product that I expect to see on the field. I've kind of had a negative attitude about the Cubs. I'm pretty excited about the start of this Cubs season. I really am. And guess what part? The part that I am not, that is really, that I'm, it's starting to sink in that Craig Counsell is the Cubs manager. Like, there it is. We know that it's been happening. He's been with them for spring training. But now it's really start. The Cubs have Craig Counsell considered to be, by many, in the top five of all managers in Major League Baseball today. And to see what effect he might have on the team, the way he conducts himself in the post games, the pregame, right here on the Score. Now I'm like ready. I'm like ready to see that work and see how it all goes down. And then on the field, I mean, they're just, it's solid. It's solid. I'm not saying that the Cubs are better than Cincinnati or St. Louis necessarily, but what they have is solid. And I do choose to look at the season from last year because I think it took a lot of us time to mourn the season because at one point in time, the Cubs had a 93% chance of going to the playoffs last year. So you could have looked at it in two different ways. Unexpected because the Cubs got to being within 94% of being a playoff team. That's the optimistic way to look at it. Or do you look at the season as a whole pessimistically and say that, well, they choked and they did, but my natural organic feeling about that now is that I look at it as, yeah, yesterday was a big step forward. And, yeah, I throw words around like choke, and I know we do that. It's probably unfair. It's like such a caustic-sounding word. But that's what it felt like. Nonetheless, I still now look at it with perspective and say, yeah, that I want to see what Dansby Swanson does in year two. You know, hopefully he's, you know, great the whole year. What's Nico Hoerner got for an encore? Everybody says Seiya Suzuki is looking great. Belly's back. Give it to us, Belly. You know, and then you've got Yan Gomes, of course. And, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing Shota Imanaga, and reports have been good so far in spring training. So I am interested in the Cubs. I am very interested in the Cubs. 312-644-6767. A little bit deeper into the baseball than I had intended to go. So let me get right back to the Bears. We begin with Don on the west side. Hello, Don. Do we have another three technique call? Is this back-to-back techs? What's going on, Don?
Hey, how you doing, Mark? My take on the three technique is I don't see anybody, I guess, that's dominant enough that's left for them to, because I know they said Eberflus's defense basically runs through the three tech. So for that reason, I think that they do go edge at nine, because I think if you can get pressure around the edge, if you can't get it right up the middle, that you'll get a lot of single blocks instead of those double teams on the inside, because you got to deal with a Montez Sweat, mm-hmm. or you got to deal with the number one, I forget his name, that's coming out of, I believe it's Alabama.
Dallas Turner.
Dallas Turner, you know, if that guy comes out, be dominant. You know, you gotta make blocking schemes for them. So it'll actually make Dexter and the other, I'm forgetting the other rookie name, but they'll be veterans next
Pickens.
Year. But, you know, those two,
yeah.
That'd be more, yeah, Pickens, they'll be a little bit more effective in my philosophy. Secondly, a lot of the things with Caleb Williams, man, what us as Bears fans got to remember is that it's not his fault, okay? It's not his fault that the Bears mismanaged Justin Fields. it's not his fault that Justin himself didn't get over his learning curve, even though he wasn't helped. It's not his fault. And hearing him, I think, helps personify him. You know, it helps give him the qualities of being, okay, it's not just his name. It's not just media and reporters talking about this person who you know nothing about. And my thing is, I kind of blame some of the media, you know, for the narratives that they spin about this young man, too. So I just say, you know, let's see if he gets drafted first, which I, you know, think he is. You know, he looks promising. You know, if he gets drafted and, you know, he continues to not be a diva and be the football player, the competitive player that he presents himself to be, then I don't see no problem with him being a Chicago Bear. You know what I mean? You know, we all love Justin. You know, we all know, you know, we all have an idea of what took place when Justin was here. But, you know, Justin is, you know, I'm pretty sure he's going to get over it pretty fast when he gets in that Pittsburgh Steelers uniform. So yep. We all got to remember that as well.
Yep, that is true, man. Very good call. Giving me a lot of stuff to think about. Yeah, and when you talk about Caleb Williams and the stuff that has been there out, you know, the painting the nails, the crying, all of that, I feel, you know what it's like? These are like, it's almost like they're attack heads. Like, it's almost politicized. People looking for dirt or any little thing that they can take and spin and take something that doesn't even at its base have to be negative, crying to your mom. Like, it doesn't have to be. And then it's completely made into that. So there is something very political about the whole thing. And yeah, you're right. It's not his fault. I thought you were going to say, like, give Caleb Williams the preemptive. It's not your fault. Like, when you come here, just so you know, things are going to happen. Like, you're a Chicago Bears quarterback, and if I'm his fixer, just so you know, before you step in there right now, because he's, like, on the edge of walking into Hallis Hall, it's not your fault. It's not your fault. Oh, no, I'll be fine. No. You got to listen to me, man. Seriously. There have been so many quarterbacks that have walked into that building who have said the same thing, that I got this. It's going to be... Just so you know, it's not your fault. Come on, man. No, you got to listen. It's not your fault. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that's why things seemed like somewhat tenable in terms of the, quote, breakup between Justin Fields and the Bears. Maybe he was told it's not your fault when he walked in that day. It's not your fault. And then he gets sacked 9 times in his first start against Cleveland. It's like, that's not your fault, man. That's not, see, that's what he believed. I think that's what it was. I think Justin Fields became a believer at that point that it's not his fault, that he was not set up for success in the Matt Nagy regime. 312-644-6767. We go back to the phones. And, oh, it's Wayne.
Mr. Grody, how are you, my friend?
I am well, sir. How are you, Wayne?
Grody, old buddy, since the Bears played their last game, you have been in light speed, buddy. You're almost FBI. You can be anywhere, anytime.
Whoa.
I mean, you've been moving. You're doing some moving, buddy. I'm proud of you.
And, oh, thanks, man.
And all the Bears fans around and everybody on the score is really proud of you, buddy. And we thank you for all the hard work you put in.
Thank you.
Big time, my friend. Anyway, yeah, I've been watching some footage of this Caleb, and he looks like he's going to be a real good one. But Grody, there's one thing that worries me about him on some of the stuff. When he takes off on those breakoffs and has to run, I hope he learns how to get down a little bit faster than he did on some of those college games.
There's some evil
people in them NFL games.
I know.
There's some evil defensive players, and they just look for nothing other than to tee off on somebody.
Yeah.
So I hope he'll get down fast. I think hopefully his passing is so good he doesn't have to do much scrambling. You know what I mean?
Well, he said he doesn't want to. He said he doesn't want to have to run. He wants to throw to his playmakers, and you know the Bears are starting to build up some pretty good playmakers with Keenan Allen and DJ Moore. Wayne, man, anything else, buddy?
You bet. What about you? You think that Roma Dunze is going to be there at 9?
I mean, the way it's sounding, a wild dream. Man, I got to tell you what, Wayne, and thank you so much for the call. It's so good to hear from you as always. You're the best, Wayne. Everybody I talk to is Team Roma Dunze. Like, we talked to another guy tonight, Jim Nagy, who was on with us at 7 o'clock, executive producer of the Senior Bowl, 18-year NFL scout, practically saying that, you know, Roma Dunze is the top guy out of all of them. I don't think he went so far as to say that he's better than Marvin Harrison Jr., but like everybody that I talk to that really knows, that has been scouting for years, and in this case 18 years, like starting to sound to me like you're not going to have that availability at wide receiver. It's tough because, I mean, then you've got, you know, Brian Thomas Jr. from LSU, not too shabby. Keon Coleman, suggested out of Florida State. That's a pretty good product, too. So, yeah, but, you know, as we were talking about at the beginning of the show, it's not out of the realm of possibility that guys like at 9, some of the guys that might be available to the Bears, I think it's possible that Roma Dunze could be there. I think it's possible that Malik Nabers could be there. I think it's possible that Joe Alt could be there. I think it's possible that Jared Verse could still be there, the defensive end. Sorry, I'm doing it again, not giving positions for the benefit of the people who may not look at this stuff as closely. Joe Alt, left tackle, Notre Dame. Like, all of those are possibilities, too. I mean, it's harder to make a case. It depends, too. Like, I think the first receiver that goes is number 4, Marvin Harrison Jr. to Arizona. The Chargers at number 5 could take Malik Nabers. They could take Joe Alt. Could see Jim Harbaugh taking an offensive lineman, couldn't you? I mean, that maybe that's a no-brainer. Maybe he's Joe Alt for Jim Harbaugh. At least to run the ball. New York and protect quarterbacks. Giants, I got them. I still think that they're on to J.J. McCarthy, but we'll see. Tennessee just signed Calvin Ridley. Did they add Odunze there? Atlanta, they got enough offense, right? Kirk Cousins, Darnell Mooney, Drake London, Kyle Pitts. Yeah. I would think that they would go defense. And then again, that brings the Bears to that pool that I just mentioned. Brock Bowers, Joe Alt, Olufashinu, that's another left tackle that I didn't even mention. Odunze, Malik, yeah, I mean, it's possible. Just depending on, you have to think about the mentalities of some of these other teams. So, all right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, let's go in depth on Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams' pro day was today, the USC pro day, and we will bring in somebody who was there and has covered Caleb Williams. Antonio Morales covers USC for The Athletic. He is next. I'm Mark Grody. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
You've been able to control your own narrative, basically do it the way you want to do, be perceived the way you want to be perceived.
Yeah.
How important was that for you to make sure that happens the way you want it to happen?
That's always important. You never want somebody else telling your story. You never want somebody else talking about you in ways that that aren't true. You always want to be able to put things out there about yourself that it's true stories, it's how you are. And the main thing is just be authentic, because it always shines.
Let's get back to more Mark Grody on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Caleb Williams from his pro day near L.A., working out for everybody. The potential number one overall pick in the 2024 draft, and subsequently, potentially, all those words, a Chicago Bears. We welcome you back in on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. And let's go and talk to somebody who was at the pro day today, somebody who covers Caleb Williams and the USC Trojans professionally. He is Antonio Morales, again, covers USC for The Athletic, and he joins us on the Score Hotline presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Antonio, thanks for joining us, man. I appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Antonio, how would you best characterize this pro day for Caleb Williams, whether it was the peripheral hype for it or what you saw on the field today with your eyes?
I think I would say a spectacle, right? Just because NFL Network and ESPN were all camping out. He had interviews with both those outlets, and then he had an interview with Colin Cowherd afterwards. All 32 teams were there. You saw, teams like the Bears and the Commanders who brought a heavy, heavy presence to the pro day. So I just think it was more of a spectacle. I would describe it just, there's so much attention, so much hype, like you said, and people invested a lot of resources to watch this. And like for the past year or so, ever since he became the front runner for the number one pick this year, all eyes have been on Caleb Williams, and today was another example of that.
Yeah, I mean, you're the perfect guy to talk to. How has he handled being, and through your eyes, how has he handled being a star?
I think he's the way he's done his interviews and the way he's talked to the media kind of is reminiscent to me of the way he's handled the media and all that stuff at USC during the past two seasons. I don't think I've noticed anything different or he's changed much at all. I think it's been pretty much the same, kind of been low key with the media, but not saying anything that'll get him in trouble or raise any red flags or anything like that. I think he's done a good job so far. Obviously, there's going to be a lot of discussion about him for the non-football stuff, and I don't think he really feeds into it that much. So that's a good job on his part. But I still think he's a polarizing kind of player for a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt, at a lot of different levels. We talked to Antonio Morales of The Athletic, covers USC for them. I know that the throwing and the evaluation, it's almost like for Caleb Williams, it's just sort of pass-fail. Is he here? Is he okay? He's on two of kid. Fine. So I know that they're not taking necessarily what they see from him throwing today that seriously. But from what you did get to see, what did you think of his throwing ability at his pro day specifically today?
I thought he looked good. Even he mentioned there was two deep throws he missed. I think they're both. I think one was to the left side. I know I spent like a week with San Jose State before the season started because they were going to play USC. And like one of those coaches showed me the percentages of like him doing deep to the left. And like they were much lower in that quadrant than they were in any part of the field in 2022. So I'm like, oh, like that's something that came up again today. It was in my mind, it was like, oh, he missed a throw deep to the left. And, but I think the other stuff was good. It's hard to kind of translate Caleb Williams' game or get the full kind of experience of it in a pro day setting just because so much of what he does is out of structure and creating something out of nothing and kind of dancing around in the backfield, evading sacks and all that.
Uh-huh.
So it's kind of hard to get the full experience from a pro day, but I thought he looked good. I thought he looked good.
Yeah. Do you think that, well, we all know that the record of top quarterbacks, there are booms and there are busts. It happens. We see them just about every year at the quarterback position, so we all know that that's a possibility. How close do you think, from covering Caleb Williams, how close to undeniably good or undeniable is Caleb Williams at the next level?
I think he's close, but I think the thing that would cause me hesitation would be, well, and some of it was USC's offense kind of like fell apart last year, but he needs to play within the structure of the offense more. I think he did a better job of that in 2022 than he did in 2023. But in 2023, his offensive line wasn't protecting him as well as it did the year before. The receivers weren't getting open. They really missed Jordan Addison in 2023. And I don't think the play calling was as good and the system wasn't designed as well. So I think so much of it fell apart around him, and maybe that caused him to play out of structure, but I think he needs to do a better job of playing on time and playing within the structure of the offense. And I think people saw Patrick Mahomes kind of develop in that area and that aspect, to where not everything was the big play and it became more of a patient player. And I think that's something Caleb will have to do as well when he reaches the pros. I think right now that's my main and maybe my only concern with him. I don't think the height is a concern. I know people before the combine, before he measured in 6'1", had some concerns about his height, but I think he's built well. He's tall enough, and I think physically he has all the tools. It's just a matter of kind of playing within the structure of the offense.
Yeah, I mean, that'll be the trick for him. And we'll see if he can abide by it. I mean, you mentioned too that, you know, he missed Jordan Addison. Did he get criticized? Was he ever? Because it always sounds like to me, like it, I hear everybody saying it, including yourself, that there was a lot of things around him that weren't as good, whether offensive line, you didn't have Jordan Addison. That's always to me the answer. It always sounds like not Caleb Williams's fault. Is that the case with that?
Yeah, because I think a lot of people out here saw 2021 before Caleb got here and before Lincoln Riley got here, just how bad the team was. And then obviously they overhauled the roster quite a bit the following offseason, but there's still plenty of holes and it's a pretty flawed roster, and he kind of carried it to the doorstep of the college football playoff. And
they probably would have
made the college football playoff if he doesn't injure his hamstring against Utah in the Pac-12 title game. And just like the Herculean effort he made all season to kind of get the team where it was. And then when you see the other parts around him get worse the following year, it was kind of hard to blame him for some of that stuff. Did he play perfect? No, like the turnovers were a problem. He had some critical ones last year. And like I said, he didn't play within the structure of the offense a ton of the time. But I think it's hard to just like throw the blame on him for kind of the mess that USC was last year.
Got you. What do you think about some of the his dad? I mean, this stuff just filters to us. And so we are at the mercy of what people write. But you're there every day, all the stuff with the painting the nails, the dad, the crying, the not wanting to go to Chicago, all of these things which aren't true necessarily. I mean, I'm thinking they've been debunked already. But what do you think about all of that?
Yeah, it's just all very interesting, the discourse and the discussion around Caleb. Yeah. I think people forget that, like, when his dad made the comments about maybe staying in school and, like, we don't have to go to the draft, I think people forget, like, at that time when he made those comments, everyone thought the Cardinals were going to get the number one pick. They're going to be a mess. Like, no, I don't think anyone at that time expected, like, the Bears. But at the same time, you could also be like, okay, where's his PR team to kind of put out that fire of people saying, oh, he doesn't want to go to Chicago.
Right.
I think they could have jumped on that sooner, and like, before the week of the combine.
We would have appreciated it here, too. A lot of people would have.
Yeah, and I get it. So I think they could have put out that fire sooner. And then obviously I've said this to people before, but I think, I'm in Southern California. So you're always going to deal with like high profile quarterback recruits.
Sure.
And, like I covered Bryce Young pretty extensively when he was out here. Looked like he was going to go to USC for a bit. And, so you run into, you know, the quarterback dads, and they're all at some different stages of kind of engaged and planner,
right.
And like I think Caleb Williams' dad is by far like the most calculated and planned out kind of dad I've come across and seen so far. And like I think the word I always use is they're ambitious, this team, and
it's a good word.
They're ambitious.
It's a nice word.
And they have big plans and big things they want to do, and it's unorthodox for sure. And I don't think it's something people are very much used to, just because like Caleb's like kind of the modern face of NIL and kind of college football, like player empowerment and stuff like that. And there's that's never come across. Like, he's that first wave of it too. So it's not something NFL teams or even college teams are really that used to. And you know, he had the talent to warrant it. And yeah, it's taken some time for everybody else to adjust.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's, yeah, we're all kind of learning some of this in real time. Hey, I got to ask you, Antonio, just as a football fan, I know that you know, cover USC for The Athletic, but what do you think about Caleb Williams going to the Bears specifically, knowing the history of the Bears quarterback, knowing that Justin Fields just has been ushered out of town after Mitch Trubisky was ushered out of town? How do you look at it from your own football sensibilities, Caleb Williams, if he does come to the Bears, and that fit, and what goes through your mind for him?
Well, I think the thing that sticks out, and obviously Keenan Allen today was at pro day. So, like, you know, the thing that pops up to me is, like, at receiver, they're setting him up really well with some good weapons. DJ Moore and Keenan Allen are two of the best weapons you could ask for a young quarterback. You know, I'm not from San Diego, so I was in San Diego and Southern California when Keenan Allen got drafted to the Chargers. I saw most of his career play out.
Oh, okay.
There in Los Angeles. So, like, and I know he's probably like top two or three receiver in Chargers franchise history. I know.
Wow.
He's a quarterback's best friend. Yeah. Just because of the way he gets open and the way he runs his routes. And so I think that'll be a real boost for Caleb. And obviously Cole Kmet's a good player. We'll see about DeAndre Swift and the offensive line. I think the running game will probably have to improve, but I think the situation's good. It's not like a complete, you know, mess where, you know, right. Bryce Young had nobody who can get open last year. I think Caleb's walking into a much better situation than Justin Fields had and everything like that. So I think they've gone about it the right way, and I think they can get him more help with the number 9 pick too. So I think he's going to be put in a position to succeed.
Great stuff, Antonio. I appreciate it, and we'll tell people, direct people to check out your work that covers the USC for The Athletic. What is your Twitter handle? I don't have that right in front of me at the moment. How can people read your stuff, Antonio?
Yeah, it's at Antonio C. Morales.
Okay.
So you can find me there.
Excellent, man. Thank you for your time. I appreciate your insight. Thank you.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Yep, absolutely. That was Antonio Morales, covers USC for The Athletic. We'll take one final break, and then we'll go commercial-free to the top of the hour. Your calls are welcome. 312-644-6767 on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. It's David in Wisconsin. Hello, David. You're on The Score.
And the Tyson Bajan started, he looked like he'd been in the league for 10 years. What if they go with Bajan and use that number one to trade to somebody or in the first round?
Are you being serious with your question?
Let's get back to more Mark Crotty on Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Championship. Mm-hmm. There's nothing to say. Take in day one of March Hoops with Circa Sports Illinois and 670 The Score tomorrow from 2 to 6 at Real Time Sports in Elk Grove Village. Parkins and Spiegel will be live tomorrow afternoon from 2 to 6 at Real Time Sports. Go to circasports.com for more info. And Parkins walking out of the studio when I came in, carrying out his Caleb Williams jersey like it's his blankie. He's so proud. He is so proud, as he said, I think he said, and he probably said it on the air, so I feel comfortable sharing our hallway exchanging shifts moment, saying that he's getting more crap for being right about Caleb Williams than anything else that he's gotten crap for at The Score. It just sounds funny saying it for something that he was correct about. He was correct that the Bears would draft Caleb Williams. Well, we think they're going to draft Caleb Williams, but it's for him, it's clinched. The ball has been dunked. The buzzer has buzzed. Everybody has left the parking lot. Everybody is home. It is over. the Bears are drafting Caleb Williams. That's it. And apparently, he was having some difficulty with the I Told You So tour. I don't know what happened, but that's what he said as he walked out of the studio. 312-644-6767. I am Mark Rohde. A few text messages, or get back to some of them. I'm sick of people stating the Bears will mess this up. For the record, it wasn't Poles who drafted Fields. He gave Justin a chance. Justin could not win. Absolutely, that is very true. Good to point out every once in a while, because it's been a while now, that, yes, it was Ryan Pace who did draft him, and that it, I thought you characterized it pretty well, Texter. I thought Ryan Poles did do his due diligence with Justin Fields, gave him, you know, 2 years to show him, and he showed him a lot of good stuff. At least that's what he says, but it was time to move on. Grody, the Killers are absolutely fantastic live. That's one show you would not regret going to. I believe it, and I have a healthy amount of respect for the Killers. I mean, they came out of the gate strong. It was only a kiss and whatnot. But they have, like, stood around, and they still make good music, and I have heard that they put on a hell of a show. They've become a classic band, man. The Killers, like, they're like at a new level of respect. They made it through. They're relevant still. Yeah, a lot of bands lose their relevancy fast. 847, please call Craig Council manager, not skipper. Thanks. I have no idea what that is. Maybe it was from the previous show. I don't know. Was there some skipper? I will say, for the record, I don't like the nickname skipper. I always think of Gilligan and Gilligan's Island when I think of it. So I rarely, even when I did updates, I rarely use skipper. It just doesn't feel right coming out of my mouth. It just doesn't.
Although, what a weird thing for him to make such a point about. You can't use skipper, all right?
Yeah, for the record, you can use skipper.
You can use manager, all right? But skipper, how dare you?
Hey there, skip. I think it sounds right when other players say it. Like when Ron Coomer says it. Because he used to call, like Joe Madden, that was when I was there, and he would always call him Skipper. It always sounded right coming out of his mouth. For me, doesn't feel quite right. Let's see here. Did that one. Oh, yeah, from the 312. Trey Lance was hurt for a year. It's astonishing you're a football reporter. That doesn't change a thing. Somebody asked me to like say that the Trey Lance Justin Fields careers paralleled each other. He's played in 8 games. Exactly. You made my point. There's no parallel between Justin Fields and Trey Lance. Like, get out of here with that. Justin Fields' career is much more serious than that of Trey Lance, despite having been hurt. And I saw him play up close and personal. That was the rain day at Soldier Field. And that was the day I lost a cell phone. Yeah, it got so wet that it was destroyed. I was able to, you know, I was insured. I was all taken care of, all that good stuff. But it does bring back the good memories. Just of that game, because that was a fun game. Justin Fields had a fun day. Remember the dive and all that? Taking day one of March Hoops with Circa Sports Illinois and 670 The Score tomorrow from 2 to 6 at Real Time Sports in Elk Grove Village. Parkins and Spiegel will be live tomorrow afternoon from 2 to 6 at Real Time Sports. Go to circasports.com for more info. And tomorrow, Molly and Haw. 7 o'clock, Brad Biggs, DJ Moore at 8:25. Bernstein and Holmes, they will have Bucky Brooks and Adam Hogue, who I know is at the pro day. So looking forward to all that on The Score. Thank yous to Yogi Roth for coming on for the Pac-12 Network. That was great. Jim Nagy of the Senior Bowl. Antonio Morales of The Athletic, USC. Robbie Triano, you did a great job tonight. I'm Mark Grody. All of you guys have a great night on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.